Morning. How's everyone going? Beautiful day today. Have a new Prime Minister this week. Happens a lot here in Australia, noticed. I'm excited to share the word with you guys this morning. Before we kick off, let's ready our hearts, ourselves before God in prayer, if you would join me. Thank you. God, we pray that you would humble us as we come to you. You are far greater than we could ever imagine. You are perfect in all your ways, and yet you care for us. You adore us, and you want us to relate with you. We thank you that you have reached out to us through Jesus, and we ask now that your Spirit would guide us forward into all that you have for us. We acknowledge that your purposes are far greater than ours. Help us be about your glory and not our own. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. I would like to start off by saying, if you don't know Jesus yet, this is a great place to be. We have wonderful, loving, caring people in our community here that are willing to walk alongside you. So we got to know that. That's really important. And so I challenge you to consider who Jesus is and the life that he invites us into. The hope that he has. Now, has anyone here ever been to the Eureka Tower, the Eureka Sky Deck? A few of us? Cool, good, brave. Because I'm actually scared of heights. And now, if you don't know, that's one of our biggest buildings in Melbourne. It's massive, and I would like to give a bit of a description of this, if you bear with me. The Eureka Sky Deck has the highest public vantage point in the Southern Hemisphere. It is the world's tallest residential building, 300 metres in height. The top of the tower can boast that it can sway up to a metre in high winds. That's a lot. There are two 300,000 litre water tanks on the highest levels to prevent any excess swaying. It has 3,680 stairs, 92 stories, 52,000 square metres of windows, and it's made up of 110,000 tonnes of concrete and weighs over 200,000 tonnes. And lastly, if you're into the shiny stuff, good news, the last 10 levels of this building are plated with 24-karat gold, the windows, gold everywhere. So, pretty impressive, hey? Now, we know the reality that buildings aren't indestructible, right? We just saw with Wayne's beautiful pictures of these houses on cliffs, and that was interesting. But houses aren't indestructible. It would seem to us that this one, the Eureka Sky Tower, is built pretty well. My best guess is that when you're up there, you're not actually going to overly worry about its foundations and whether that will fail you. Now, you wouldn't think about this building collapsing. Sure, you might be intimidated by its height, but you're pretty confident it's not going to shake and fall. So just like this physical foundation that you could have confidence in, we are going to look at a spiritual foundation this morning that can be found in Jesus. A foundation that could never ever fail us under any circumstance, and that's good news. So, Jesus starts with a question. And it's a serious question. And he wants us to think deeply about it, all right? So how do we know this? Well, the question he brings to us is, why do you call me Lord when you do not do what I say? The tone here is a bit like someone coming up to you and saying, look, John or Jessica, I have a question to ask you. I think you should take a seat. It's that kind of question. It's quite a serious nature. So, basically, he's saying, why do you call on me when you don't really care about me with your life? You don't really trust me, do you? That is the angle that Jesus is looking at this from. So, we must understand Jesus can bring this question to us because he cares for us. He cares what we live for. Namely, what our foundation is. He loves us and he wants what is best for us. We have to hear this loud and clear this morning. We have to be able to be real with ourselves and our relationship with God. For us to better know Jesus, we must be eager to face the tough questions that come our way. For us to live a life that reflects the light and love of God, we must take this seriously. So I'll continue in verse 47, if you could look there with me. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. Jesus is showing us that those who hear his voice and trust what he has said will look like a particular way. He describes it. He will live out his purposes. He will trust God with his life. And so he continues to describe this in the next verse in 48. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it is well built. It was well built. Jesus is contrasting our spiritual life with what this house is built on as it's laid on the right foundation. He is getting to the heart of this issue. That is, do you live your life as Jesus as your foundation? Do you trust him? People who hear his voice and trust his words will look like a man who builds his house on a sure foundation, one that cannot be shaken or moved because it is well built. The person in the story represents those who have decided to build their house on the right foundation. The foundation, of course, represents Jesus. He is saying no storm, no flood, nothing can shake this house that is built on him. No evil or opposition can shake Jesus. This house represents the life we live out built on him. In fact, the first century Jewish community would have understood it in this way, that the house wasn't just home, like we sometimes look at it, but it was where it was more than just a couple being there and a bunch of kids running around, which I'm sure a lot of us have experiences with. But it was so much more. People did their work, their business, they socialized, they ate together. Many, many people in the community lived under one house at times. So the house in this story is a picture of your whole life. This is how they would have understood it. The house is the hub of your life. So when we trust Jesus, we cannot be shaken in the sense that God will fail us. He won't and he can't. This applies to whatever you are going through. Now, you might ask yourself, what exactly is this life that Jesus invites us into? What's it even mean to have Jesus as your foundation? That is a good question. I'm thankful that you asked. Now, what changes, all right? Well, for me personally, I remember when Jesus was not my foundation. It wasn't built ultimately on Jesus. That was my life. I was self-centered. So my needs before yours. And the way that I navigated my life was me about myself, my own glory, my own desires. And I would not listen to another, especially not God. So not only did I have a bad attitude, but I was convinced that I could trust me over anyone or anything. And that's quite a crazy thought, but it's more common than we actually admit sometimes. And it's a lie to tell oneself. And I'll explain. Look, I recall my foundation being about doing whatever I wanted to do. And the problem is that we can all be flawed, broken, and chaotic human beings, if we admit. And yes, let's not forget, we can be amazing. I know a lot of you guys are amazing, and you're very capable. Absolutely, we're all that. But friends, I don't think we should trick ourselves into saying that we know best. It won't fulfill what we're looking for. It won't bring the guidance and joy that we are seeking. So, hear me out. I'm not advocating we have no foundation. We just tend to replace Jesus with lots of stuff. That's more important in our own minds. And we shouldn't make Jesus secondary. We shouldn't make him an afterthought. I think we could all agree with that. That's the hope, at least. We should be asking ourselves, what is our foundation? Where do our hopes, our dreams, our purpose, what does this all come under? Where is this grounded? Where does this fall under? Is it on us? Is it on you and I? Or can we trust Jesus? Can we trust that God loves us? That he's made us with tremendous purpose. He's made us in his image with immense value. And that we are saved to a life with God and those around us. Let's not ignore what Jesus wants to do in us and through us. He invites us to hear his words, as we just read, and put them into practice. He offers us a changed heart and a purpose, a renewed life driven by God's Spirit. I mean, I can testify to this. Many of you can testify to this very thing, that God is good. Now, in verse 49, I'll continue reading it. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on a ground without foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. So I must ask, is our foundation built on Jesus? Can we reflect on that at least this morning? How do we even know? How do we actually know if our life is built on Jesus? I don't think there's any perfect method or perfect way to know. But here are some things that may help us ask the right questions and examine ourselves before God. So I'll go through some of them. Do we seek after God daily? Or are we running elsewhere? Are we running towards God or somewhere else? Do we answer his call and put into practice what Jesus taught? Do we pray, like really pray, like sincerely, genuinely pray about God, the things that matter to him? Do we love mercy? Do we do justice? Do we place Jesus first? So that's some stuff that we can really think about and let it affect us. Now, I love what this guy J.D. Greer says on this topic. He's a pastor from North Carolina. And he recently said, the gospel has done its work in us when we crave God more than we crave anything else in life. So that's going towards the right path, the right trajectory, I would say. So I believe that is very true. If we are to be authentic, reflecting Jesus, his love and his purposes, then we are to confront ourselves on whether we trust Jesus, whether we follow him. Now, I'm not saying that when we have Jesus, that all becomes perfect. That is definitely not what God's word teaches, and it's not really logical, let's be honest. We will struggle at times. We can testify to that. Life happens. But have you ever wondered how God's word not only tells us, but shows us that Christians will face trouble? They will face hard times. They may be persecuted. But at the very same time, doesn't Jesus say his yoke is easy, but his burden is light? You've got to think about that for a second. So how's that work? It has much to do with the joy, the rest, the guidance found in Jesus when he becomes our all. It's a supernatural kind of peace that God gives us no matter what is happening. And that comes out when Jesus is our foundation. So this is why we can hear him loudly when he tells us, take heart, for I have overcome the world. And that's good news, especially in tough situations. So don't allow your world to fall. In other words, don't lose your foundation when things go wrong and when things get tough. Whether it's something as silly or small as a cracked car windscreen, which may have happened to me this week, you know, stones flick up on the road. Or whether it's worse, whether a friend betrays you, whether you've lost your job, and so on. Whatever it may be, allow Jesus to be your rock in those difficult times. He is with us, so we should live like it, right? Now, yesterday I went to an amazing wedding of a good friend. My wife and I enjoyed it heaps. A beautiful couple, beautiful day. And the thing that stood out was that they loved Jesus. Jesus was their foundation. And I thought, how good is that, that they're going into marriage knowing Jesus. Whatever they're going to face, they know Jesus. And that they get to experience God in that way. They can rely and depend on God. So that's good news. So that really encouraged me. So notice that when you give your life over to Jesus, people will notice. People will notice. Now, as I said earlier, I have a sense, I know what it's like to live a life without God, and it does not fulfill our deepest needs. To know Jesus is to be embraced and accepted by God, renewed and called forward into this life, a new life. It's to trust Him, it's to put His words, put into practice what He's called us to do, put into practice His words. It's to have a changed heart that loves God and our neighbors. So just like this renowned, grand Eureka Tower, the Eureka Sky Deck, that is grounded deeply, how much more, friends, shall we be grounded in Jesus? How much more shall Jesus be our foundation? The one who is able to keep us from falling, much better than the best buildings constructed out there. So as you guys know, there is a man who represents us in this story, one who builds on the right foundation, one who builds on the wrong. And so we are confronted with that choice. We are left to decide what we will build on, just like the many hundreds, thousands of decisions we face daily. Here is an important one we should consider. A question we should ask ourselves is, what is getting in our way of our relationship with Jesus? What is holding us back? What are we filling the depths of our heart with? So, Jesus knows that when we surrender to Him, we lose ourselves, but we gain everything we need or could ever want. We gain our true identity. We are free. We allow God to define our lives, not ourselves. And that is freeing. That is a burden off your shoulder. I think that's why Jesus says it. So, I would like to encourage you, and I'm preaching to myself, let's see God as God sees you. Well, as God sees us. Okay, that makes sense. Now, we will experience God as we build our life on Him. Our foundation was a priority topic for Jesus. He mentions it quite a few times in the gospel. It's mentioned in the epistles, and with very, very good reason. We're given the Holy Spirit. We're not left alone. Jesus wants us to seek Him daily. He wants us to fight the good fight. And I love that Philippians 4:13 reminds us of this, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Even if you just start there, it's good to know that God is with us and is able to strengthen us. And as we read earlier, Psalm 62 says this, and this stands out. It says, "Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." Friends, let's echo this with our lives. Let's do this as a church, that we can be grounded in God. Now, I would love for us just to spend maybe a minute praying about this. And I'd love to lead us in it. So if you bow your heads with me, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You love us, You care about us, You want us to be a part of Your plans and Your purpose. We thank You that You've revealed Yourself to us personally, and we ask that You continue to do that. We thank You that we can rely on You. Lord, with whatever we are going through, help us know that You are with us. Help us know the invitation that You put forward. God, help us, take away things that might be in our way of knowing You better. Help us think about You more. Help us pray about You more. We thank You that You just are amazing, that You've saved us by sending Your Son Jesus, to take our place. And we thank you that we get to live a life unto God. We thank you for our relationship with you. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.